ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वत्सान् वत्सावत्यो व्यभायमहम् गिलान्त्या इव क्षङ्गानि लिहन्त्या स्वदोषां भया. The cows haven't given birth to new calves, but while coming down from Govardhan Hill, the cows, because of increased affection for the older calves, allowed the older calves to drink milk from their milk bags, and then began licking the calves' bodies in anxiety, as if wanting to swallow them.
Gopasthadurodhananasya mogyat lachoro manyana durgadva kritchato gyeta govatsadra dushasutam.
The cowherd men, having been unable to check the cows from going to their calves, felt simultaneously ashamed and angry. They crossed the rough road with great difficulty, but when they came down and saw their own sons, they were overwhelmed by great affection. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone was increasing in affection for Krishna. When the cowherd men, coming down from the hills, saw their own sons, who were no one else than Krishna, their affection increased. We are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 13 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this beautiful chapter, we read of the illusion of Lord Brahma. This story has such great significance to all great Vaishnavas who are aspiring on the path of pure devotional service. People ask, Lord Brahma is a Paramahamsa. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. In fact, he is the first guru of our parampara. Krishna, at the very beginning of creation, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adakavya, he spoke to Lord Brahma from within the heart. And that knowledge and the revelations that Brahma received from the message of Sri Krishna is the seed of all transcendental wisdom. Brahma instructed his son Narada. Narada instructed Sri Vedavyas, who is the author of the Vedas. Later on, Sri Madhvacharya, on his celebrated pilgrimage to Badrinath, he received the same knowledge from Sri Vyasadeva. In that parampara of Sri Madhva, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, all of those great acharyas who have so kindly passed down this divine knowledge to the present day, and ourselves, we are all the disciples of Lord Brahma. He is the guru of all of us. Actually, in one sampradaya. In fact, the Brahma sampradaya. One commentator in his commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically omitted this chapter because he considered it too bewildering for people. If Brahma is the supreme guru of our whole parampara, if he can fall into illusion, then what is the credibility of our parampara? But there are two types of maya. There is yoga maya and mahamaya. Mahamaya is the type of maya that we fall into due to our separate interests from Krishna's, due to our unwillingness to utterly surrender everything. To the degree we are not surrendered to Krishna, we are under the influence of Mahamaya, and Mahamaya covers our true inherent knowledge, bewilders us, and invokes us to act according to the material laws of nature, and thus incriminate ourselves in the laws of karma. But in the spiritual world, yoga maya is a covering potency also. And what is that covering potency? The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally covers the completely surrendered soul from a particular type of understanding of Him just to increase the affection and increase the love. Which means, ultimately, to give that devotee the opportunity to increase his or her service. Because after all, on the spiritual platform of Goloka Vrindavan, there's no pride. Nobody cares that I am very advanced and I never make mistakes and I know everything. In the spiritual world, everyone is simply thinking, how can I best serve Krishna? Whatever way I can best serve, whatever way I can please Him most, that's all. That's everything for me. And in this world, those who are of the Vaikuntha consciousness, they have no pride, they have no prestige. They simply want to please Krishna. We read in the Bhagavad Gita how Arjuna, he was factually bewildered. From the spiritual point of view, he was speaking all nonsense. He was coming down to the material platform of philanthropy and logic. He was speaking karmakanda philosophy to Krishna. And Krishna smashed him. Asochanan visotras tvam pragyavadam prabhashate. You are a fool, Arjuna. Now, how is it possible? Arjuna, the most intimate friend and relative, he was the cousin of Krishna. And he was a confidential friend of Krishna. Krishna would lay in bed with him and joke with him and play with him and discuss revealing his mind to him. He was a devotee of the highest order of purity. Arjuna was not bewildered. But Krishna, by his yogamaya potency, put him in the spell of bewilderment, just so that he could increase his service. And what was that service? To facilitate Krishna speaking the Gita. Huh? So in the same way, the great acharyas, they understand that Lord Brahma, he's pure and spotless in every respect. But Krishna, personally, knowing my Brahma, he surrendered, he'll do anything for me, he'll even embarrass himself and be misunderstood and appear to be proud. In fact, I will make him become proud. Just to show that even the greatest of all personalities can become proud. Just to show how Krishna, Bhagavan, is the supreme controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwara. Brahma is the controller of the entire universe. Krishna wanted to show the world that even the Father, the Guru of all living beings, is under my control. So therefore, it was out of love, pure love, that Brahma was willing to be utterly bewildered by Krishna and even become proud. So what happened is this. Brahma saw how Krishna killed Agasura. And he was covered over to not really know, is this God? Who is this? If it is, I'm going to really glorify him. If it isn't, we'll find out who it really is. So Krishna and his friends, one day, the gopas, they were out herding the cows. And as they were out herding the cows, I'm sorry, the calves. This is when they were very young. They were herding the calves. And they came to a place on the bank of Jamuna in the forest, and they began to eat their prasad and distribute it, and everyone was sitting around Krishna, and they were having a wonderful, wonderful experience, simply looking at Krishna, simply enjoying Krishna. Actually, simply being enjoyed by Krishna. No one in the spiritual world wants to enjoy Krishna. Everyone simply wants to be enjoyed by Krishna. And this is the difference between the Gaudiya Siddhanta and the Siddhanta of many other Vaishnavas. Is some want to enjoy the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. But a devotee, he follows in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashlesya vapadaritam panashtuma madarshanam maramahatam karotuva. Which means, Krishna, if you want, you can embrace me. If you want, you can trample on me. If you want, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are free to do anything and everything because I am your servant unconditionally. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are taught simply to be enjoyed by Krishna. This is the Vrindavan Leela in its purest sense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, "My dear Lord, the inconveniences and suffering I go through in your service is the greatest pleasure of my life." To simply be enjoyed by Krishna. And of course, in Vrindavan, what does Krishna enjoy? Krishna enjoys seeing his devotees enjoying. So even when the devotees enjoy, they don't enjoy for themselves, they enjoy only to give Krishna enjoyment. This is Goloka. It's like when we come before the deities. Even if we're feeling miserable, we should act joyful for Krishna's enjoyment. In class, even if we're tired, we should stay awake for Krishna's enjoyment. We are simply presenting ourselves before Radha and Krishna. And whatever we do is simply for their enjoyment. Even if it's terribly suffering to look happy, we'll do it for their enjoyment. It's not artificial. It's a sacrifice. It's bhakti. And not only for Krishna, but amongst the Vaishnavas. As far as our capacity, we should bring joy to the Vaishnavas. You think you're going to bring joy to the Vaishnavas by looking completely bored with life? If you want to bring joy to the Vaishnavas, you have to be enthusiastic, even if you feel outright miserable. That's the austerity. Hari Bol Prabhu! But in your heart, you're thinking, God, I just wish I could go to sleep. But still, Hari Bol Prabhu, how can I serve you? It's not artificial. It's called service. attitude. We're simply dedicating our lives for the enjoyment of Krishna, for the enjoyment of our Guru Maharaj, and for the enjoyment of his devotees. This is Vrindavan. So they were all enjoying with Krishna. And the calves, they were eating the grasses, and they were going little by little into the forest, deeper, deeper. And the children, they all looked at one another. Where is our calves? We should go find our calves. This is our duty to Nanda Maharaj, to take care of these calves, to protect them. Krishna loves to serve his devotees. If Krishna loves to serve his devotees, we should also love to serve his devotees. Huh? Doesn't that make sense? Krishna is so humble that he says to his friends, "No, no, no. You sit, you enjoy your prasad. I'm going to go find the calves." So Krishna went himself to do the work while his friends were just sitting and enjoying. And he went deeper and deeper following the footprints. But he couldn't find them anywhere. And then he came back. And all of his friends were gone, the gopas. And he was thinking, everyone's gone. And it's becoming late. And the elderly gopis and the elderly cows, they are all waiting for their children and their calves, and they will be too much in anxiety if we're not home on time. So Krishna simply expanded himself. Expanded himself to an identical form with each calf and each boy. And then they all, dancing, playing their flutes, laughing, they all went back to the town of Vrindavan. And in this way, the parents greeted their children, the cows greeted their calves, and just like normal. The only thing that was not normal was the parents and the calves and the cows could not understand, why is it we've never loved our children so much? We're feeling the same type of love for our children as we feel for Krishna. How is this possible? They were just in ecstatic love. Of course, we know that Lord Brahma, by his great, great mystic power, he stole the calves and he stole the cowherd boys and he put them in a secret place and put them in a mystic slumber. They were sleeping. So meanwhile, a whole year passed and Krishna was playing the part of all the children and all the calves. Of course, during that time, Krishna knew that the gopis, they had just performed the Katyayani Puja. They all wanted Krishna to be their husband. So Krishna decided, I will fulfill their desire. And he said to Nanda Maharaj, "You know, this year is very, very auspicious to get all the young cowherd boys married to the young gopis. I think you should do that." So Nanda Maharaj talked to the other cowherd men and he made this decision. And they made all the matches. And the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, the young gopis and gopas, they were married. Now all these unmarried gopis, they were praying for Krishna to be their husband. And actually, they all married Krishna. Because every one of those boys was Krishna. See how wonderfully Krishna fulfills his devotees' desires. There is no limit for Krishna. There is no moral principle. There is no physical barrier that can come between Krishna and the fulfillment of his devotees' desires. Huh? This is God. So Krishna married them all. And in his form of Abhimanyu, he even married Sri Radharani. But actually it wasn't Abhimanyu. It was Krishna, disguised. And the great acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that after that year expired, when the original cowherd boys returned, they accepted these gopis as their wives simply to protect them. Not to touch them so much, but just to protect them so that they would facilitate Krishna's parakya rasa. Huh? They were doing it as a service. Anyways, during that year, the very end of the year, we are reading here, Balaram and Krishna are standing with the calves, and the older calves, which they were taking care of, they came near the cows. Actually, no, they were at the bottom of the hill. And the cows from the top of the hill, upon seeing them, they just became so overwhelmed with motherly affection. And factually, mother cows don't give milk to their older calves, they give to their younger calves. This was a completely unnatural phenomenon. But they were so stricken with prema, with love, that they started galloping down the hill, Govardhan Hill. And as they were galloping, their milk bags were going to and fro, and their tails were up in the air, and they were kicking the dirt. And the cowherd men, their business is to take care of the cows, bring them to nice grasses so that they would be pleased. And if they're pleased, they'll give a lot of milk. But when they saw the cows running down to their calves to give them the milk, they were very much in anxiety. Their whole occupational duty was being spoiled. So they started running down after the cows. And here it is explained in this verse today that the calves were just drinking and drinking and drinking the mother's milk, and the cows were just licking their bodies as if they were trying to swallow them. They were in such ecstasy because they were all Krishna. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. How dear Krishna is to the cows. And how dear the cows are to Krishna. This is such a beautiful example. Gobramani Hichayata. Krishna loves the cow so much that he personally expanded himself as calves to drink their milk. Huh? Just to give them pleasure. And this is why we consider the cow so holy. There are economic reasons. There are healthful reasons. But for the Vaishnavas, the real reason is Krishna. He's drinking their milk directly. He's becoming their calf. He's reciprocating such intimate love with them just to give them pleasure. Therefore, for the devotees of Krishna, the cow is such a sacred and holy creature of the Lord, personality. Meanwhile, the cowherd men, they were running down that hill, and they were in so much anxiety that look what's happening. Everything is ruined. The cows are losing all their milk. But then when they saw their little children, the gopas, who were all Krishna in disguise, they became so overwhelmed with parental affection that tears just started flowing from their eyes, and they just started to embrace their children and smelling their heads and rubbing them and just their hearts were so much overflowing with love that they just forgot all the anxieties of this world. In the path of bhakti, we must understand that this is the type of liberation we are looking for. Mukti means no more suffering. But in bhakti, how do we free ourselves from suffering? Not just by transcending the modes of material nature alone, as the impersonal class of men aspire for. But the devotees, like these cowherd men, they become just so engrossed in serving Krishna, in loving Krishna, that they just forget all the anxieties of this world. And even if they don't forget it, it just doesn't matter anymore. I have Krishna. I have my service. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that this is the definition of being transcendental. It's not that sometimes you're not diseased and sometimes you're not in pain and sometimes you're not having difficulties and impediments in your spiritual life, but you're so fixed in your service that you just don't care about these things. That is the beginning of transcendental consciousness, to simply remain so steady in our devotional service under any circumstance that these things, whatever they are, we don't have time for them. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that everyone was increasing in affection for Krishna. When the cowherd men coming down from the hill saw their own sons, who were none other than Krishna, their affection increased. Krishna means the all-attractive. Krishna means the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna means, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam second chapter, that he is the central pivot for all intimate loving relationships. That is Krishna. To always fix our mind on Krishna, to always keep our affection directed toward Krishna, that is our aspiration, that is our goal. As Queen Kunti prayed, as the Ganges flows to the sea, O Lord, let my attract without any hindrance, let my attraction, let my affection flow only to you without being diverted to anything or anyone else. That is Krishna consciousness. And this is what we are aspiring for this realization. Therefore, in the neophyte state of consciousness, we simply try to always remember Krishna by keeping service to Krishna as the goal, the motive of everything we do. Yat karoshi rasnasi yajtu hosi tatasi yat yatapasyasi konte yatat karoshva madharapana. Whatever we do, our aim should be to do it for Krishna. And of course, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that there is no offering of service more pleasing to Krishna than to deeply aspire on the path of purification by coming together to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the path of attaining this realization of the cowherd men and the cows, of utter affection and love for Krishna, takes place. This path is to learn to repose our affection, our attraction in the name of God. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended within his name. Just as the cows were just trying to just lick up the calves, with the same enthusiasm we should be trying to just lick up the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The cows were using their tongue to try to lick up Krishna. So in this way they were showing us the process. With our tongue to try to lick up Krishna through his name. Completely repose all our attention and only that. Not for our pleasure, for his pleasure. We are servants of the holy name. The name is our master. We are the eternal servant. So in this mood, with this enthusiasm, with this determination, and with this goal in mind, this is how we should chant the holy name. In kirtan, in japa, in bhajan, throughout the day. This is how we should approach the holy name. Is there any questions? Speak loudly, please.
As it is to say that Lord Brahma is our original guru, and Krishna has given the Lord Brahma.
Radha Gopinath ki. He also bewildered Lord Shiva in the form of Mohini Murti. He bewildered Brahma several occasions. If the spiritual master is maintaining the principles of Krishna consciousness, even if he apparently makes mistakes, it is an offense to see it materially. If a spiritual master falls down, that is another thing. Then we are not to, at least for the time, whether it's Mahamaya or Yogamaya, that we may not understand. It may be Yogamaya, but as long as the spiritual master is in a fallen condition, we cannot follow him. We should pray for him, be grateful for what he's done for us, and follow someone who's in a capacity to lead us. But if Gurudev is not in a fallen condition, which God forbid such a thing could ever happen, we don't even think about those things. But in his practical mission, in devotional service, he appears to make mistakes. We should know that the Guru is not God. He never was and he never will be. He can make mistakes. But all his mistakes are perfect because his motivation is simply pure service to the Lord. And those mistakes, what may appear to be a mistake, is not a mistake at all. It may be a mistake by our logical thought process. Huh? But ultimately, Krishna has a purpose that he's using his intimate associates with in everything that they do. Huh? So we should see it like that. When Lord Brahma did that, it's not that because of this the demigods rejected him. They were just wondering, what's happening? Huh? What is Krishna trying to do this time? What is he trying to teach us? And sure enough, in the end, it was revealed. Krishna had a divine lesson to teach all of us. Srila Prabhupada used to say, if Guru... if Guru makes a mistake, that mistake is perfect. Huh? Why? Because it's offered out of love. What is a mistake? A mistake is our material conception of how things should be. Huh? Bhishma was shooting arrows at the Pandavas. But it all was out of love. It was a mistake for him to be on the side of the Kurus, but it was out of love. Huh? So therefore, we should not evaluate advanced devotees by the material conception of mundane managerial ideals. Huh? We should understand that one who is simply giving his life for the purpose of Krishna, Krishna has a plan through everything that the Guru and the advanced Vaishnavas do. He has a very special plan in every instance. Huh? What does it mean when we say Guru is perfect? Doesn't mean he's perfect. That it means it doesn't mean that everything is perfect according to the material calculations. It means everything he's doing is offered with love. That is perfect on the spiritual platform. Huh? And a mature devotee understands that. And his faith only increases by seeing how Krishna is working through his spiritual master in the most incredible, inconceivable, wonderful ways. Huh? Is there any other questions? Yes. Prabhupada said many times that too. Even if the Guru was wrong, he's right. Materially, he may be wrong. But we have not come here for material ideas. We're coming here for spiritual ideas. Even if he's materially wrong, if his motive is out of love, he's right. And if you follow him materially, you might get embarrassed by following him. But spiritually, you'll attain the supreme perfection of life. And why do we come to a Guru? For that reason only. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Sri Galim Prabhu, would you like to add anything? No. He is a great pundit. I am just a simple field worker from New Vrindavan. He is a great pundit. he was traveling and preaching when I was digging ditches and milking cows. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.